Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I want to get right to the message tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about, it's going to be interesting because 40 years ago, I heard a message about righteousness, and that's when God's voice was brand new in my life. You know, now I don't have to go, man, is that you, God? Man, I know when it's God, because I know God. I know God's voice. I hear his voice, and another voice I won't follow, because that's what the word promises. But early on, it was like, oh my gosh. But the thing about it for me is God's voice comes into my life so practically. That's when I know it's revelation from heaven in my life, because it's very simple, it's very clear, and it's very practical. And so I heard a message, and I did some study on the back end of it. And that study was about righteousness. And righteousness is truly just right standing with God. Well, then I was reading a commentary, and to the Jewish people, that right standing was actually eye level. And God gave me revelation that his righteousness is that when I live of my own volition, I live in the flesh and I live of this world, I live at this level right here. And if my morals are good and if I'm a good person and I treat people well, I might could bump up a little bit and get to right here. But see, because of the finished work of Christ in my life, what happens now is God's righteousness comes into play, his right standing, and now I'm eye level with God. So the natural life is here and the supernatural life is here. All your enemies, all your foes, all your situations, this virus lives here, but we live here. See, we rise above all of it, and God becomes the lifter of our head. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The things that the Gentiles are seeking. To you, that would translate into clothes and cars and cookware or whatever it is, that bedding, whatever it might be, a place to live. See, the Gentiles, people without God, are seeking all this stuff, but we don't seek it the same way they do. We don't go after it the same way they do. See, so understanding, so it says, seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, the culture of God. Man, seek that first and his right standing, or that we're eye level with him. So if you're living here of your own volition, you're living here in the flesh, you're not going to be able to get here. But you know what? Through Jesus, your life is elevated. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You just get it. It's a free gift. It's called salvation. The Bible says this, that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness or right standing, and with the mouth, confession's made to salvation. See, our salvation comes because we speak it, but we're able to speak it because we believe it, and that makes us righteous. That puts us at eye level with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, or right with God, or in right standing, or at eye level with God. And I mean, that might twist up your doctrine a little bit, but let me just tell you, man, think about it, meditate upon it, look at God's word. All God wants to do is elevate our life. You think about it, the basic premise of a curse and a blessing. A curse suppresses us. A blessing lifts us. Why does God want to lift us? Because he wants us to get to his level on earth as it is in heaven. See, the idea of this is that heaven doesn't start when we pass from this life to that life goal. Heaven starts now. Man, I'm believing God. If you tithe, the heavens, the windows of heaven are open above your life, and God pours out blessings. What do those blessings do? They lift us. And it lifts every part of our lives. See, just receive the blessings of God that come through his word. But how we do it, the evidences of righteousness in our life is that we're dead to sin. See, we're also freed from sin, but we're dead to sin. You know, the old gangsters, it'll say, he's dead to me. No, sin's dead to me. Man, if you think about that, if sin is dead to you in your life, man, now you could live, the image of Christ comes alive in you. Why? Because you're dead to sin. You're freed from sin. You're a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That you become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things that are earthly go away. All things that are heavenly come alive. See, that's how this works. That's the whole rhythm of God that's now in our lives. That's how it works. But what we have to do is we have to understand all of this stuff that now we become servants of Christ. Now we become the image of Christ. Now we become the platform of Christ on this earth. That God used to, in the Old Testament, God used to use stuff. Now he uses people. Let me tell you, if you're believing God for a burning bush experience, you might very well be getting one tonight from a preacher, because you're not going to get one from a bush. God doesn't operate that way anymore. That's the old covenant. It's a new and better covenant. It works in people now because the Holy Spirit's infilled us. See, four quick points. So if you're taking notes, make this list, okay? The characteristics of righteousness. Here's how it works. You sow to it. You sow to righteousness. Okay, and in sowing to righteousness, there's a couple verses that I'm going to go to here. But when you sow to righteousness, Hosea 10:12 and Galatians 6:8, both of those. Listen, but Hosea 6:12, it talks about us sowing to righteousness and reaping abundance. See, that's how. See, we sow to right standing with God. So we sow our lives to that. So in a practical sense, let's bring it down to a practical place. It's how we think. Man, somebody around you starts coughing. Man, I heard somebody that was talking about being somewhere in line at a grocery store, and somebody coughed in that line, and people looked up and looked around and scattered to other lines. Well, if the first thought is, oh, dear God, the virus is running loose, then you're not sowing to righteousness. If your first thought is, I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm protected, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. See, that's how this works. So you're sowing with how you think. You're putting your mind in that place. You're sowing your thoughts into righteousness. You sow the word into righteousness, and you speak it. And that comes to number two. You seek righteousness. Remember what Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look, you got to seek it. You got to take the initiative. You got to be active. There are too many. I don't see anything in God's word where we're ever passive, ever. We're always moving forward. We're always taking new ground. And you'll say, well, what about resting in the Lord? Let me tell you, when you rest in the Lord, that means you don't flinch. The arrow by day and the terror by night, you're not going to flinch. Man, I'll tell you, if nothing else, this coronavirus I know it's real, it's horrendous, people that have lost their lives and loved ones, and it touches God's heart and the heart of ministry in all of us. But it also gives us an opportunity where we're not going to flinch. You know, the Bible says 1,000 will fall at our left side and 10,000 at our right hand, but will not be harmed. See, so we sow to righteousness. We seek righteousness. But then the Bible even talks about us hungering after righteousness. You know, and I think in my translation of that, it's craving righteousness. You know, there's times where it's like, man, let's get a pizza. Why'd you think of pizza? Well, there's just a craving. Man, do you want dessert? Nah, I don't know. Give me a little bit. We'll split something. Why? Because there's a craving. You hunger for it. That's how righteousness is. You hunger after righteousness. And when we begin to hunger after righteousness, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says we're all running. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that we're all running this race, but run as one who wins. Man, run this race. Live your life for God with a hunger after righteousness, a hunger after right standing with God, a hunger for the supernatural. Man, that's what we're believing God for. That's what I'm believing God through this whole pandemic, this whole quarantine. What the enemy means for bad, God turns it to good. That there's a hunger for the righteousness of God in God's people, in people of guts. And then finally, that we follow after righteousness. And that's this race that we're running. In 1 Timothy 6:11, the Bible says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. And then on the heels of righteousness, you know what we get? Godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. See, and then he follows that up with the all familiar verse in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you're also called to confess with a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. See, fight the good fight of faith. See, that's what God gives us. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, man, we'll be saved. God raised him from the dead. What's God going to do in your situation, God? In the debt that you're in right now, he's going to raise you from that debt. I believe personally right now, and I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, your debt is swallowed up in victory. It's all the thoughts that you think and the words that you speak. And then corresponding actions. See, faith without works is dead. Write that down. Faith without works is dead. What do we do now? Oh, we consider ourselves, man, I'm crucified with Christ. So I'm gonna live by the trust that I have in God's promise, the trust that I have in God's word. And then we think on those things. Where does your mind go? Man, do you just let your mind go crazy? I mean, you're like, what's your opinion about this? You're seeking a bunch of opinions? Or you know what? You're hearing from God. I'll tell you what God wants to do. It's going to sound crazy. God wants to multiply your finances, multiply your business. God wants to put your marriage over the top. God wants you to be the leader in your home, to be that man or that woman that is somebody that kids can follow to the very throne of grace. Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we come to God as a child. The Bible says that we enter into the throne room of grace humbly, but listen, yet boldly. There's no passivity in it. Man, we're not sitting back just, well, I'm just waiting on God. I just want to, no. And I'm not one of those guys. It's not in the word that God helps those who help themselves. We can't help ourselves. That's why God said Jesus. But you know what I've got to do? I've got to pursue God. I've got to go back to that list. I've got to sow to righteousness. I've got to seek righteousness. I've got to hunger after righteousness and then follow righteousness. And you know what? That's the cadence of our lives now. Those are the simple steps that we take. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, it's sow to it, seek it. And let me tell you, let's turn it in, let's personalize it to God. We sow toward righteousness, toward God. We seek righteousness. We hunger after righteousness. We follow righteousness. And let me tell you, there'll be no missteps in your life then. I'll tell you, I'm 62 years old. I can't afford missteps. However old you are, wherever you are in life, man, you're single. You can't afford missteps. Man, you're a newlywed. You can't afford missteps. You're about to get married. You can't afford missteps. Caitlin's holding my phone for the Instagram Live. So I'm pointing at Caitlin, about to get married. She doesn't need missteps right now. I mean, Keenan, her fiance, man, he's got to stay true to the call. He's got to stay right on in tow with God and not look to the left or the right. Man, all this peripheral thing, whether what we should wear or what we should eat or where we should go or how we should congregate, all that stuff is superfluous. What we've got to understand now is the idea of God is for us just to keep our eyes on him. And let me ask you, what's God doing in your life right now? Because Paul said, examine yourselves that you're in faith. What's God doing in your life right now? You've got to be in faith to know what God's doing. Because God's doing something. Three things that I'm sure of for you is God loves you. God knows you intimately. He knows your name. He's numbered the hairs on your head. And he's doing a great work on the inside of you. And as long as you have breath, God's doing a work on the inside of you. God's building you up into a bigger man, a better man of God, a supernatural man. Paul said, you can walk on this earth as a mere man, like everybody else does. Jesus said it this way. He said, you've heard it said, but I say to you. See, the idea of God's word is it just builds us up. It builds us up in our inner man. See, you look at it, you go to the gym, you get built up in your outer man. You go, but who you really are, Your conscience, your inner man, man, that's born of God now. See, so what's the devil going to do? The devil's going to try to give you a guilty conscience. The devil's going to nitpick every little word that you say. God's not doing that. The devil's going to remind you of your past. God's never going to do that. See, that's the understanding we have to have, the force that's for us and the force that's against us. And you know what the Bible says? The force that's for us, if God be for you, who could be against you? Honestly, how can you lose? What matter, what difference does it make if somebody's against you? If something's against you? Well, the market I'm in is against me. It's like, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, Jesus said this, write it down. You've heard it said, but I say to you, all God's ever gonna do, he's gonna bless you. That's all he's gonna do, blessing, not cursing. A future and a hope, good and not evil. See, the bottom line with this is what are you putting your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in? Are you putting your trust in the Creator, whose Son came to this earth as a man, tempted in like manner as us, and said, peace, be still? Game changer. You know what the disciples said? What the heck? Who is this guy? Even the wind obeys him. See, understand that. If the wind obeys him, whatever you're dealing with surely has to obey him. And that's the understanding that we have. I think that's a good word. I think what we do is that we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Let's do that right now. Whatever situation you're in right now, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Man, what are you going through? Is your life right with God? Have you through this quarantine, have you dropped your guard at all? Well, let me tell you something. God's going to take your sin and throw it to the sea of forgetfulness. That means shame and guilt goes with it. So your sin, shame, guilt, all absolutely goes to the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember it anymore. But all you got to do is confess your sin to him. Say, God, forgive me of this. And God, my heart is to be right with you. So God, make me right with you. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth. So God, you've saved me. That word saved means to be rescued, to be restored, to where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And the idea is that supernatural life that God's called us all to live. Supernatural life. I mean, think about it. Think about it. You're not subject, your body's subject to gravity, but you're not subject to the wind of the world. You're not subject to what everybody else is dealing with. You don't have to. You know why? You're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. God saved you. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's overwhelming to me to even think I'm not going to hell. I know me. I know what I've done in my past. But you know what? God throws that out. He doesn't hold that against us. He's not making account of our sin. I'm telling you, God didn't have a tally. No, all he sees when he looks at you, when your heart's right with him, is you're hidden in Christ. So let's all pray together. Whether you're saved or you're not, whether you know God or you don't, whether you're right with God or a million miles from him, whatever. Let's all pray together right now. Everybody in this room is going to do it. I want you to do it right where you are. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the very Lord of my life, Lord over all, the whole shooting match of my life. Jesus is Lord of it. God, I turn my back on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I turn my back on all of it, and I follow after Jesus now. God, I'm keeping my eyes on you. God, I hear your voice and another voice I won't follow, but I definitely follow your voice, God. God, thank you for your word. God, it's life to me. It's health to all my flesh. God, I thank you. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I call heaven on earth in my situations in Jesus' name. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.